Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Psalms, Psalm number 19 and verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. This is the word of God for the people of God. So, a few years ago, I was just happened to be walking through the building on a weekday. Not too many people were there. I think it was a Monday. Just kind of needed a kind of a stroll through the sanctuary, and I happened to find on the seat in a pew in the sanctuary one of these, a cell phone. Somebody had left their cell phone there, somebody who'd been there Sunday, and today was Monday. And obviously those kinds of things happen. They just get sometimes accidentally left behind. Maybe you accidentally leave your glasses someplace, or you leave something of importance somewhere that you normally wouldn't have left. But what I wondered was, okay, wait, this person hasn't missed this yet? I mean, it's been here over 24 hours, and why hasn't somebody called to say, have you found my cell phone? Why weren't they paying a little bit more attention to something that was so important, and how come they weren't searching diligently for it? You know, our cell phones or smartphones in our culture today are becoming increasingly indispensable. You can hardly function without them. Someone recently told me that he can do his whole job from his smartphone. He can access everything he needs from his phone. Now, I'm personally not tied to my cell phone quite like that, but if I don't have it with me, there just seems a sense in which I feel a little lost. Wait, something's not right. I should have my cell phone with me. Am I the only one that feels that way, or do you all kind of rely a little bit more on your cell phones than you used to? Yeah. Well, Jesus said the same thing. He didn't say it necessarily about cell phones, but he put it this way. He said it about the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We cannot live eternally, spiritually, abundantly without God's word. And like a cell phone, if we don't have a way to connect with God, then we feel lost. And so the Bible is the way God communicates with us. It's the way we connect with Him. And it's indispensable, more so than any cell phone. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." So in God's word, in that good news, which is what the gospel is, in that good news, there is salvation. John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, "Sanctify them to live in accordance with the truth. Your word is truth." God's word is truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says God's word is indispensable. And that picture of the value of God's word was pretty clear in that scripture we read from Psalm 19 just a couple of minutes ago. The word is perfect. It revives the soul. It refreshes us. It makes us wise. It gives us light. It gives us instruction. It gives us direction. It brings us joy. It warns us of danger. And in keeping God's word, did you hear that? There is great reward. There is great reward in keeping God's word. So how is it that people don't pay attention to that? How is it that people don't feel lost if they aren't connected in reading God's word? Why don't people miss it when they haven't heard God's word for a day or two? Have you noticed that our nation is struggling? And not just our nation, all around the world. There are crises that our nation and all nations are facing. There are economic crises. There are political crises. There are energy crises, poverty crises, hunger crises. And of course, we all know about the COVID-19 crisis that we're facing around the world. But there's one outstanding crisis that rises above every other problem that our world is facing right now. Above all of those that I just mentioned, there's the crisis of authority. We are experiencing, and you might want to pay attention to this a little bit more as you go through the week, but we are experiencing an authority crisis. The foundation on which we stand to determine what is right and wrong, to determine what is good and evil, to determine what is true and false, pure or polluted, wholesome or perverted, that foundation is crumbling because people aren't paying attention to a moral authority in their lives. Every foundational moral authority is being tested in our world today, and for the most part, being more and more disrespected as we go through life. There are laws, there are constitutions, there's law enforcement, police, there's the Ten Commandments, and there's a rise in disrespect and disobedience and rebellion against all of those today. No one seems to know or care what it means to treat people with common civil respect anymore. And that's because part of the foundation of what motivates a person to be respectful, part of that foundation is crumbling away. The moral, I call it the foundation, the moral foundation, the moral authority motivates people to be respectful, to be civil, to be obedient, is in poor shape in our world today. Unfortunately, the church is not exempt from this crumbling, from this disregard of the rules. The church is not exempt from rebellion. I can speak personally of the United Methodist Church because I feel I have some ability to do that as an ordained United Methodist pastor. But we have leaders in our church that aren't respecting the rules. There are bishops, superintendents, even pastors, whole congregations, whole conferences who are blatantly ignoring what it means to be United Methodist, who are blatantly disobeying what we have set up in the Book of Discipline, the United Methodist Book of Discipline, that says this is who we are. But people today are rebelling against that. We're racing downhill this moral high ground that our Lord calls us to. We're racing downhill from that because we've lost the foundation of moral authority. We've removed the guardrails and we're in a reckless moral condition because we refuse to recognize and to submit to any universal elemental guiding truth. Why is that? Why do you think we're seeing so much indecency, so much rebellion, so much disregard and disrespect in our world? And we see it everywhere. And you would hope that from people that we set up as role models, you would hope that people that we look up to as heroes in our world today, you would think that they would do a better job. But no one is exempt from this crumbling that's taking place. You see politicians who act immorally. Pastors. Just this past summer, president of Liberty University. He and his wife just in tremendous moral shambles in their life. Law enforcement, even school teachers, administrators who fall from grace because that foundation of moral authority, of respecting what is right and a guiding light, a guiding truth to help them know the difference between right or wrong and stay on track, they've fallen away from that. But it doesn't have to be that way. Now, maybe that way in somebody's life, you don't have any control over what somebody else chooses to do or not to do. I mean, you may be able to have some input in their life, some encouragement, some word of rebuke or correction. You may be able to speak into somebody's life if you think they're doing wrong and say, wait a minute, time out, don't you need to rethink this? But you don't have any control about what they choose. But you do have a choice when it comes to your life. We all have a personal responsibility to pay attention to what is right and wrong, and then keep that foundation that informs that choice, keep that strong. And that's where the indispensable Bible comes in. That's where the Word of God helps shore up our moral foundation. You personally can choose to establish the concrete foundation for your life when you choose to believe and follow what is found in the Scriptures. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. We read Psalm 19. That's a beautiful passage about the Word of the Lord. Psalm 119 is a very famous psalm for a couple reasons. One of them is because it's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses long, but it's all about the Bible. It's all about the Word of God and how valuable it is. One of the most famous verses in that Psalm 119 is this verse: Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Message translation puts that verse this way: By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself, and I'll never turn back from living by your holy rules. And you can choose to walk the walk where the light of God, the Word of God, lights up your path. I got to thinking this week about why these things are indispensable to us, why these cell phones, our smartphones, are valuable. And there are so many aspects to our phones today. Not the least, of course, is they help us connect socially with one another. And so in these days where we've had some social restrictions, our smartphones are coming more and more in play about helping us connect to people. So you can text, you can tweet, you can Snapchat, you can Skype, you can FaceTime. You can even have emails that are sent and received through your phone. But they also do more. I mean, you can connect to the World Wide Web that just supplies about any kind of information that you would so desire. And so you can use it like some people do for their jobs, but there's all kinds of helpful apps that you can get on your cell phone. GPS to help you know how to get to where you're going. A weather app to know that it's okay, the weather is today is going to be sunny eventually. Here it comes. But it's going to be windy today. I know that because I found it on my app this morning. As there's sports apps. If you want to know what your favorite sports team is doing, you can get a sports app. There's news apps if you want to know what the latest news is. All kinds of apps. And you know, app is short for application. And so whatever these programs are that we can download, put on our phone, it applies to our life. It makes an application in our life that's important to us. It's a camera. You can take pictures. You can send pictures. You can receive pictures with your phone. You can listen to music. You can watch videos. You can play games. It's a flashlight. If you ever use your phone in the dark to kind of see where you're going. It's a calculator. It's a price scanner. It's a compass. It's an alarm clock. It's a calendar. And oh yeah, it's a phone. You can actually use it to call people on. That's why it's valuable. And you miss it when you don't have it. We could stand here and argue about whether the world would be better today with or without cell phones. I don't know. But they're a way of life, and they're part of, you know, what makes our life in this world tick these days. So you think about that as far as the cell phone. Now make that application to Scripture. What if the Bible was as indispensable to people as the cell phone is? You think about that. You think about how the Bible connects us to God. First and foremost, the Word of God is God revealing Himself to us, His ways, who He is, His nature, what He does. And so God tweets through Scripture. He's not limited to 64 characters or however long you have to your tweet is, but when He wants us to get to know something, it's right here in Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse of John's gospel is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The very first thing John's gospel tells us about God is that God wants to communicate to us. He wants His Word to get through to us. And a little further down in that chapter, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God sent the Son to communicate to us, to let us know how much He loves us. God sent the Son, the Word made flesh, to allow us a way to connect with Him. And the Scriptures help us understand that. Help us get to know that Word made flesh. Help us to get to know that God's design is to love us through that Word made flesh. Help us to get to know what that love eventually does for us. Not only shapes and molds and changes us, not only shapes and molds and changes the relationships we have with people around us, but shapes and molds and changes our destiny, our eternal life. The Word of God is the way in which we connect with the Lord. And it's got some helpful apps. It's got a GPS. Well, a spiritual GPS. A GPS not that will help you find the nearest restaurant in the area, but a GPS that will help you find your way to heaven. It'll give you directions on how to get to heaven. It's got a news app. The Bible does. A good news app. You're tired of listening to bad news from this world? Turn to Scripture. It's a good news app. The good news is that God loves you. Got a great plan for your life. Okay, so yeah, we have a problem participating in that plan. It's our selfishness, our self-centeredness. We call it sin. That's a roadblock, you know, to our relationship with God. But God's got a way for us to overcome that problem. That's the good news in Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done on the cross for us, giving His life on the cross for us, rising again from the dead, we have the power to overcome sin and connect to God and His love and His plan for us. Yeah, it's got an app about for money. If you want to know about money, there's an app for stewardship in Scripture. If you want to know about marriage, there's an app for marriage in Scripture, application verses that apply to marriage, to employment, to parenting, to salvation, to forgiveness, to discovering eternal life, to fighting Satan, to whatever you have to deal with in your life, there's an app for that in Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the person of God will be equipped for every good work. Other valuable features of the Scripture, besides the way it connects us to God and the helpful apps, is that it's a photo album. We can see pictures of God in here. The book of Revelation is full of pictures of what the future is going to be like. Yeah, now they're not completely developed, and they're a little, unclear and sometimes even a little bit confusing, but God wants us to know what those things look like. And so he sent us a little snapshot. He sent us little postcards about a lot of different things. Helpful the Bible is to find purpose for your life. And the amazing thing about the Word of God is it's portable. Now, I would have a hard time fitting this whole thing in my back pocket. Okay? Good news for me about fitting the Bible in my pocket is my cell phone has a Bible app on it, and I've got the Bible right with me every time I have my cell phone with me. But you know, more than that, you know where you can keep the Word of God? So that nobody can take it away from you? You know where you can keep the Word of God so that you won't accidentally leave it in the pew? You know where you can keep the Word of God so it won't get stolen, won't get accidentally washed in the washing machine? You know where you can keep the Word of God so it's portable and always with you? It's right here. Yeah, the Word of God. When we learn Scriptures, and you know lots of Scriptures, you've learned Scriptures since you were so little. You know John 3:16 right off the top of your head. And you know other Scriptures that are important. Psalm 23. You know the Lord's Prayer. It's not just a prayer, it's a Bible verse. Yeah. So you know lots of Scripture. Where are they? They're all up here. And you can bring them out whenever you need them. And sometimes God works that way. His Holy Spirit works through the Scriptures that we know up here to help us in certain situations. Interesting thing, I was walking through the store a couple of days ago, and as I walked past an electronics department, a salesperson was talking to a woman about a new phone. Now, in the time it took me to walk past them, which was just a few seconds, I was able to hear that salesperson telling this woman about this phone. One very important feature of this phone, he says, is that it has a lot of memory. It has 128 gigs of memory. And so all the pictures, you know, all everything you want to store in your phone, all the videos, all the games, all of the applications that you want, all the programs that you want on your phone, there's plenty of storage in this phone for all of that. And that's what I heard from, you know, just walking right past. And then I got to wondering, that's really important. It's important in our cell phones how much gigabytes we have. It's important on our computers how much gigabyte we have in our laptops, our desktops. And the more gigabytes you have, the more power you have, the more storage you have to do the things that you want to do. Of course, the more it costs as well. I got to thinking, how many gigabytes are up here? How many gigabytes are in the human brain? Surely somebody's thought about that. And so I looked it up. And there's various opinions about that, depending on how you define, you know, brain memory and brain power. But there's a general consensus that there's a ton of memory up there. In fact, one scientist has who has a lot of people believing that he's pretty accurate, is that there are, now remember, on your cell phone, a good cell phone has 128 gigabytes of space. One scientist believes that the human brain has 2.5 million gigabytes. 2.5 million gigabytes of storage space, of memory space. I mean, that blows away any even supercomputer that's ever been made. The amount of space we have to remember things. Now, I know some of our gigabytes are lost over time. But there's a lot of brain power to remember God's word. That's the point. We have all these things in Scripture that help guide us, to help encourage us, to help lead us. And all those things are meant to be authority in our life, meant to help us establish a foundation for understanding what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's holy and not holy. All of those things in God's word are meant to help us get it about God and about life. And God has built us, wired us upstairs to be able to remember the tweets that he sends in the Scriptures. And then that helps us make the right choices. The Word of God then has an application in our life to making right choices. So my prayer for all of us, and I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, because I know you believe in what I'm saying about moral authority and how important it is, and how that's on shaky ground these days, it seems like, in our world. But my prayer is that not only all of us, but that somehow we'll be able to help others read these tweets that God has sent us in the Word, help them understand how valuable, even more precious than gold, God's Word is to them. That's my prayer. Get it? Good. Let us pray. Loving and holy God, we thank you for a reminder this morning of how important the Bible is. We thank you that you've placed it in our hearts in ways that bring us joy, in ways that bring us comfort, ways that bring us strength, but above all, in ways that help us connect to you. That the Word of God that dwells in us richly allows us to know you in such wonderful ways. And we thank you for that. May we never take Scripture for granted. When we haven't read it for a day or two, Lord, make us miss it. And then, Lord, help us to convey that same idea, that same thought to others. We can't help people believe in the Bible or not. That's their own personal choice. But we can sure make a good case for how valuable it is. And that's what we pray this morning. You'll help us, as your people, as the church, to lift high the Word of God, to stand strong on the promises of Scripture, so that others might see our lives and be drawn to you. That's our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.